In the first week, and of course,
good to be here.
It's good to be back. We've missed everybody, and miss seeing everybody, so it's good to be here. This morning, we're going to continue our sermon series on looking at certain practices we observe during the holidays. And we talked about generosity a few weeks ago. I know Brian talked about love last week. This morning, we're going to talk about rest. Now, it might seem kind of funny to be talking about rest during the Christmas season. But believe it or not, God intends for His people to rest. We have to get recharged. Rest is something that is designed by God. And we have a purpose as God's people to rest. Y'all like the Peanuts comedy strip? I love the Peanuts comedy strip, Charlie Brown. And I love it because many times in life I feel like Charlie Brown. Do y'all ever feel like Charlie Brown? When this particular comic strip, Charlie goes to Lucy's psychiatry booth for some advice. And she gives him this advice. She says, "Life is a lot like a deck chair. Some people place it to see where they've been, while other people place it in such a way to see where they are in the present." To which Charlie Brown sighs and says, "I can't even get my chair unfolded." Have you ever felt like that? You ever feel like you just can't quite get your chair unfolded? Have you ever felt a little bit like the holiday season has you spent? Maybe you're spent financially, maybe you're spent emotionally or spiritually. Burned out, used up, worked over. We feel like that sometimes. Someone once said that the trouble with life is that it is so daily. We talk about the daily grind a lot. James Dobson calls the daily grind the straight life. And he says the straight life for a homemaker is washing dishes 3 hours a day. It's cleaning the sinks and scouring the toilets and waxing the floors. It's chasing toddlers and mediating fights between preschool siblings. The straight life is driving your station wagon to school and back 23 times a week. It's grocery shopping and baking cupcakes for the parties. The straight life is pulling your tired frame out of bed 5 days a week, 50 weeks out of the year. It's earning a two-week vacation in August, but choosing to spend that on a trip that will please the kids. The straight life is coping with head colds and engine tune-ups and crabgrass and income tax forms. Does that sound like life? Sometimes life wears us out, doesn't it? Sometimes we get tired thinking about all the things we have to do. Santa Claus is coming to town. Are you ready? Who's ready for Christmas? Who still has shopping to do? I know a few of you do because I saw you at the mall yesterday, right? Hopefully you got finished. But we can get worn down thinking about all the things we have to do, especially this time of the year. Will there be any rest for you today? Will there be any rest for you this holiday season? You know, we all look for ways in life to reduce our stress. We read books on it. We listen to radio programs and watch TV shows and look all kinds of places for stress relief. We get those little stress relief balls, right? Y'all ever get those and just set at your desk and crush them? There's an old saying that says, "The only peace we will find in this world is that glorious moment when everybody stops to reload." You have to ask yourself, is this the kind of life Jesus intended for me? Is this the abundant life Jesus promised to His disciples and promised to us? Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says in part, "Therefore, since the promise of entering His rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said." God invites us to enter His rest. As people of God, we have a purpose to rest in Him. Our text for today is what Austin read for us. It's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Our first point for this morning, this is your invitation. This is my invitation. Jesus is giving an open, wide invitation here for us. He says, all who are weary, all who are burdened with heavy things. Does this describe you this morning? Are you burdened this morning? Are you feeling a little weary this holiday season? How sad is it when people are weighed down and they don't have Jesus to turn to? You know, think about just this past year in our country, all the mass shootings we've seen. Just think how different our country would be if those people had opted instead to accept Jesus' invitation. But instead of turning to the only one who could help them, they buried their hatred deep until it eventually exploded in a violent rage. Think how many lives could be spared, how much turmoil would not exist, how different our world would be if people would accept Jesus' invitation. Jesus, first of all, invites those who are weary. Now, weary literally means to be exhausted from hard labor. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever gotten home at night and gotten in bed and you just literally collapse because you've worked so hard, you are so exhausted from the day you've had? That's weariness. That's what it means to be weary. But there's all kinds of weariness that we experience. We experience emotional weariness from time to time. We lack peace. We worry. And if we don't have anything to worry about, we worry about not having anything to worry about sometimes. We worry about our worst fears coming true. We doubt that anything good can ever happen to us. We get in that slump sometimes. Corrie Ten Boom once wrote, "Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrows. It empties today of strength." It's like the woman who worried for 40 years that she would die of a heart attack. And at age 70, she died of pneumonia. So she spent 40 years worried about the wrong thing. Does that happen in our lives sometimes? You know, weariness also increases during the holiday season. Because the holidays are not always a happy time of year for a lot of people. And we get emotionally weary. Physical exhaustion is another weariness we experience. Not enough sleep, too little exercise, bad eating habits, too much hurrying around trying to fit the same thing or two or three things into one space in the calendar. I've been there, right? You've been there. It's stressful. We get exhausted. And we do this thinking we're doing a lot for a lot of people or a lot of good things maybe, but we do a lot of damage to our bodies physically. And physical exhaustion can lead to depression or anxiety or, worst of all, maybe apathy. We also experience spiritual weariness. The weight of sin, struggling to overcome sin on our own, can lead us to spiritual exhaustion. And I believe this is the one Jesus is talking about the most when he talks about those who are burdened, those who are weary. You know, the weariness of trying to live a good life on our own will weigh us down. It will burden us. When we try to live a good life on our own, we will fail every single time. We can only live the life God wants us to live through Jesus Christ. Amen? And we're never alone in that. But we believe we are. We believe Satan's lies that we're all alone. And that weighs us down. And that leads to spiritual weariness. John Bunyan, who wrote A Pilgrim's Progress, describes the moment when his character is freed from the weight of sin he's been carrying around. He's got the weight of sin on his back. And as he approaches the cross, there's an empty tomb at the foot of the cross. And as he approaches the cross, that weight falls off his back and it's swallowed up by the tomb. That's what Jesus does with our burdens as well when we let him. We all know this burden of sin, how it can weigh us down and cause us so much turmoil. And this invitation that Jesus gives is for you. It's for me. But we have to admit we're weary. We have to realize that the only rest, the only true rest we can experience is the rest that comes from Jesus. But to start that, we have to be truthful with ourselves, truthful with God, and humbly admit that we're weary, that we experience things that are burdensome, and confess that. And we must be willing to submit our lives to the only one who can help us. But that requires us to put our pride aside and our self-sufficiency aside. But that's our invitation. It's Jesus' invitation to us. He invites us, our second point for this morning, He invites us first to come and then to take. And this order is very significant here. We have to first come and then take. If we want to truly have rest, that's what Jesus says. And that means we have to detach ourselves from the things of this world, the things that we've held on to, the ways, the directions we've been heading up until now. We have to detach ourselves from those things. Those are the things that contribute to our weariness. And then we redirect our lives, pointed toward Jesus, coming to Him. His first direction to us is to come. Where are you headed this morning? Where am I headed this morning? I'm not talking about necessarily our eternal destination. I'm talking about right now. Where is your life headed? Are you living your life in a way that is going toward Jesus? Or is your life headed in a direction away from Him? You see, weariness and burdens overwhelm us when we're living lives pointed away from Jesus. Now, just because we're living a life trying to walk with Jesus as best we can doesn't mean we're free of weariness or free of these burdens, because we're promised we're going to have trouble. Jesus says, in this world you'll have troubles. Life is not easy. But there's a promise that when we walk with Christ, when we live lives walking toward Him and with Him, we have His power and His strength and His Spirit guiding us. And in that, we find rest, even when everything else around us looks like exhaustion. We're allowed then to live beyond our earthly circumstances. And we're able to be like Isaiah, who wrote, to mount up with wings like eagles, to run and not be weary. But a lot of times, I'm like the television repairman. Maybe you guys are too. Television repairman is up on the roof and he's working on the satellite dish. And he loses his balance and he starts to fall off the roof. And as he goes over the roof, his leg gets caught in the gutter and he's hanging there, right? And he shouts up to heaven, is there anybody up there who can help me? And he hears a voice that says, just let go, I'll catch you. And he thinks for a moment, he says, is there anybody else up there who can help me? And sometimes that's the way we are, right? We are very familiar with the phrase, let go and let God. You've heard that, right? But I think the human side of us reverses that and says, let God and then I'll let go, right? That's not a way to find rest. We have to trust God. Jesus says, come. I've done my part. God says, I so loved the world, I gave my one and only Son. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down to this earth and to teach us and live among us. And ultimately, to take on our sin and to die on that cross and to conquer death. But now we have to respond. He says, come. Will we come to Jesus? If you've never come to Jesus to become a Christian, it starts with coming to Him for salvation. But even if you've done that, it doesn't mean we don't still have to come to Jesus. We have to come to Jesus daily so that He can direct us, so that His Spirit can fill us. We want to get our lives to a point where we come to Him moment by moment so that, like Paul, we can say, I live and move and have my being in Him. That's when we experience rest. But it begins with us moving toward Christ. To come means that we come to Jesus and we repent. Repent means we're sorry for our past, but we have a desire in our heart to turn away from that life, to turn to a new way, to turn with Jesus, who will lead us out of these paths of weariness. What do you need to repent of today? Are you emotionally weary this morning? Is there a sin that you need to confess before God? Have you been carrying around emotional baggage? Jesus wants you to bring that to Him. Do you like carrying around baggage? I've been doing a lot of traveling lately, and I have learned one thing. I pack way too much and have way too many bags to carry, right? And there's nothing better than when somebody comes up at the hotel or the airport and says, let me take your bags. Of course, you got to tip them, right? You could laugh on that. It's a joke, but it's the truth, right? When people take our bags, they lighten our load. We like that. Jesus wants to do that for us. God invites us. Leave that with me. You can have rest if you do that. But too oftentimes, we don't trust that. And we try to do in the flesh what is only possible through God's Spirit. He waits with open arms to receive us. We come to Him, we confess Him as Lord, and we repent, and we're baptized where our sins are washed away, and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We come to Jesus before we can take from Jesus. His second invitation, He first of all says, come, and then He says, take. Jesus freely offers Himself and His rest to you and me. But we have to be willing to take it. We have to be willing to pick it up. I won't have peace and rest and this abundant life if I don't come to Jesus and take what it is He freely gives me. He invites us to take His yoke. Now the yoke is an interesting symbol. Jesus is talking about eggs here, right? No. For those in the agricultural community, they would have understood this probably a lot better than we do today, but two oxen were united with one yoke between them. And a farmer would take a bigger, mature, more experienced ox who knew the path, who knew the job he was supposed to accomplish, who knew how things were to go, and he would pair this mature ox up with a younger, smaller ox who did not yet know the job he was supposed to do. But they were bound under the same yoke. The young ox didn't feel any of the weight of this yoke because the older ox took on all that pressure. He took on all the weight of the yoke. The job of the younger ox was simply to stay in step with the older ox. And as long as he stayed in step with the older ox and did what the older ox was doing, he wouldn't feel any pressure. But the moment the younger ox tried to turn away or go a different path or do something different, then the yoke would cut into his shoulders and he would feel the pain. We're to put ourselves daily under the yoke of Jesus. He says His yoke is easy. The word there means sweet and soft. The young ox doesn't feel the burden of this weight as long as he's walking with the older ox. And Scriptures encourage us, church. They tell us, cast your cares on Him because He cares for you. And when we come to Jesus and we unload that baggage we're claiming, that weariness, that burden, we're told, Paul tells us, that the peace of God, which transcends or surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Not only is His yoke easy, he says, but His burden is light. There's no pressure involved. It's not cumbersome or heavy to us if we let Jesus lead. 1 John 5:3 tells us, in fact, this is love for God, to keep His commands. And His commands are not burdensome. But at first, the yoke is uncomfortable for the young ox, right? It feels weird being around his neck. A young ox is not used to being tied to the older ox. So the touch of this yoke seems very strange to him. If he tries to break free, the yoke's going to cut into his shoulder blades. And he will suffer pain if he tries to be independent of this yoke. But with time, the young ox learns to follow the elder ox, and he no longer feels that yoke. He's keeping in step with the older ox who's leading him. Jesus says, learn from me. Now this is the same word we get for the word disciple. The Lord is calling those who are weary, those who are bearing heavy burdens, to become His disciples. The way we find real rest is becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, we ought to realize it's possible to be a Christian, to be a regular churchgoer, to be someone who's maybe even very busy in church activities, but not be a disciple of Jesus. It's possible for us to be at every meeting and every class and know Scripture inside and outwards and frontwards and backwards, but not really come under the lordship of Jesus in our lives. To be a true disciple of Jesus means that we come to Him daily and we detach ourselves from the things this world tries to get us to stick with. And we take from Him His yoke for our lives. And that leads us to our final point this morning. Rest from God is found under His yoke and in His footsteps. This is beautiful imagery here through this passage. Rest from God is found under His yoke and in His footsteps. When I think about rest, I think about doing nothing. How about you guys? What do you think of when you think about rest? I realize the irony of me preaching a sermon about rest after I've been gone for 2 weeks. But when you think about rest, you think about taking a nap, watching TV, doing nothing, right? And those things are important for us to do to recharge. But the rest God offers us is so much more than that, church. The yoke is a symbol of work. The oxen were not united so they could rest, right? They were united under that yoke so they could go do work. Jesus isn't saying to us, you're overworked, so do nothing. Jesus is saying to us the opposite. He's saying, come to me, take my yoke, and let's work together. And when we work with Jesus, we find rest even when we might be very busy. There's three steps to rest that I see in this passage. First of all, it begins with coming to Jesus, personally connecting to Him. There's no rest apart from Jesus. We come to Him daily for that rest. He is the door to rest. And secondly, we must take His yoke, which means surrendering our will, our life, to Him. Peace isn't found for that young ox in trying to go his own way. Peace is found for that young ox when he submits to the direction of the older ox, who knows the path, who knows the way. Peace isn't found in following my schedule or doing my own thing or managing my own life, even though we believe that sometimes. Peace is found when we die to self and live for Christ. George Matheson wrote this quote, and I love it. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free. It means surrendering your will and your life to Him, to live your life following His desires, following His way. And that's when we find rest. And Jesus says, step three, we're told, learn from Jesus how to walk. Learn from me, He says. What kind of path will our lead ox take us down? What must you and I do to get in step with Him? When we wear His yoke, what will we do? When we wear the yoke of Jesus and we're following Him and letting Him lead us, we're going to live the life God wants us to live. And we're going to learn to be gentle as He's gentle. It means I'm not going to fly off in a fit of rage when something doesn't go my way. It means I'm going to be humble in heart as Jesus is humble in heart. Submitting by faith to be a follower of Jesus. That's where we find rest. That's where we find rest in this life. He offers us rest here. He says, come to me, take my yoke, and let me teach you, learn from me. And you'll find rest for your weary and heavy burdened soul. This morning, are you weary? Are you weighed down with burdens as you sit here and reflect on life? Do you feel like you've tried life your way and you're worn out with it and you don't know where to turn? Are you ready to try it God's way? Are you ready to try it by going the only way that works? If you've never become a Christian, it starts with coming to Jesus and confessing Him as your Lord and Savior. Repenting of your sins, you want a different life. You want a new life. And you're sorry for your past and you're buried in the waters of baptism where your sins are washed away. You receive His Spirit. And you become a child of God. It starts with coming to Him. If you've taken that step, it doesn't mean that we don't still come. Resolve in your mind today that you're going to come to Jesus every day and let Him fill you with what you need to be able to walk with Him under His yoke. Surrender your life to Him and learn to obey God. And finally, enter His rest. He's ready to give you this peace that surpasses all understanding. He's ready to give you this joy that's unspeakable, even when everything else in this world might look bleak. So the point this morning, stop striving to do it on your own if that's where you are. There's hope, but that hope only comes through Jesus. He wants to give you His rest. He wants to give you His rest here, and He wants to give you rest with Him for eternity. If you have a need, come now as we stand and sing.